morning. Good to see you this morning, and I want to welcome you. I'm not sure that I have preached in very many locations where I have to do this level of angle here, so I'll get used to that. My name is Pastor Brian White. By the way, you can call me Brian. You can call me Pastor Brian. I don't get much formal, more formal than that. So it's good to be with you for this first Sunday of leading worship for me. I want to welcome all of you here, and I also want to welcome those of you who might be worshiping online. We're glad that you're tuning in and joining us online as well. So it is good to be here and to share in this worship together. I have a couple of announcements that my senior pastor told me to share with you. I like the sound of that. So I say it as often as I can. So we should, first of all, I think most of you know I'm your new associate pastor. It's good to be with you. To announce that the downtown parking lot is going to be closed Monday, July 14th through Friday, July 18th, so all of this week. And you can park at the Herald Bulletin lot off of 12th Street, and you should enter the church using door number one, which is the door that faces 12th Street. So just be aware, if you're coming to the downtown church building this week, you'll have some logistic issues for that. I do want to remind you, too, that next week we'll be worshiping downtown. Is that next week? No, the week after next. Okay, good. Next week's Alpha Brass, so I've got to think so. Okay, so I'll be here to play next week. So I think that's all of the announcements that Corrine gave me. So it's good to be with you and welcome you to worship this morning. And we're going to begin with sharing some music.
and our call to worship. Friends, what do you see?
We see that God has set a path before us.
What else do you see?
We see that God is among us.
We see that God calls us to be prophets.
Together we will speak God's truth to injustice, because God is here and has called us.
The God of heaven and earth, of all of creation, holds each of us in tender love and care. God is gracious and good, and no one is insignificant in God's eyes. So we respond to everything God is doing in the life of the world by offering a portion of what we have generously received from the loving God. In the ministry of Anderson First United Methodist Church, we reach out to all of God's children in tender love and care. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and in praise.
Thank you.
gracious and strengthening God. In you we find power to endure with patience and the grace to give thanks with joy. As we offer these gifts, may they bear fruit in your kingdom, strengthening the church, uplifting the weary, and sharing the hope that we have in Christ. May our generosity reflect your abundant love, and our lives proclaim the gospel in word and in deed. In Christ's name we give and rejoice. Amen.
Would you please pray with me? Holy God, your people come to pray for the world and all that is in it. God of justice, work your will in our world. Free us, O God, to speak your word in a world that needs to listen to you. Greed has overtaken the land, and ambition has taken the place of the values you expect from us. Iniquity has taken hold, making the rich richer and the poor poorer. Give us your voice that your church can serve as shepherd, guiding your people to your will for the world. God of compassion, work your will in our world. Free us, O God, to tend to those who are weak and needy, You always care, especially for those abandoned or rejected. Give us eyes to recognize them in our midst. People living with fatal disease. People in abusive relationships. Those who live in the shadows of fear and indifference. Use us to deliver them with your guiding help from all that would harm or oppress. God of impartiality, work your will in our world. Free us, O God, from asking, who is our neighbor? Take pity on us that we might show compassion. Anoint us and bandage our wounds that we might do the same for those in need. Carry us and give us strength to carry others. Heal your aching world, we pray, and use us to work out your will. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, amen. Would you please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our epistle this morning is from Colossians, first chapter, beginning with the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, his fellow minister of Christ on our behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
I'm going to ask you if you would stand as you're able as we hear this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, probably one of the most familiar stories in the New Testament. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came along, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is God's word for God's people today.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. First of all, I want to say just a couple of words in preamble. It's good to be with you. I have enjoyed my encounters with First Church people so far, and I really am looking forward to working with you and working with Pastor Corrine and the rest of the staff. So I'm grateful to be here. I want to say that as I am standing here right now, I will tell you that this is a very dangerous place to preach. I'm used to preaching in a sanctuary where there's a clock at the back of the sanctuary. So, you know, I don't know what time it is. I will say, this is just sort of a personal note. I'm wearing a blue blazer and gray trousers today. For 6 years, I was a district superintendent working with Bishop Mike Pointer. And I know I'm standing here almost in the shadow of Pointer Lodge, a legacy from his family. But many times when I was at meetings and various things with Mike, his standard dress for most meetings was a blue blazer, gray trousers, a dress shirt, and tie. So I'm channeling my inner Mike Pointer today, and hopefully that will work for you and for us as we worship together. How many of you, when you had small children, if you have small children, some of you may now, or if you ever had the care of small children, if you put them to bed at night, how many of you had a bedtime ritual? Okay? Most of us, you know, you want to provide a certain continuity for bedtime, and so you have a ritual, and there were a number of things that we did when our children were small. When my daughter was small, she's now in her middle 30s, so it's been a while. My wife, when she put her to bed, one of the last things she would always say to our daughter was, "Audra, I'll see you in the morning when the sun shines." Now, that worked for quite a little while. Each night, she'd say, "Audra, I'll see you in the morning when the sun shines." But there came that night when Audra had figured enough things out that when Michelle said to her, "Audra, I'll see you in the morning when the sun shines," Audra replied, "On us, Mom. When the sun shines on us, the sun is always shining." And in a lot of ways, I think that's a parable for how we think about the love and presence of Jesus Christ. Because as we are young in the faith, we think that God's grace and the sunshine is just for us. But as we mature, begin to realize that God's presence is for everyone. And I thought about that as I contemplated preaching on the parable of the Good Samaritan. I will tell you that I'm a lectionary preacher, so I usually use the lectionary to determine what scripture I'm preaching on. Sometimes the lectionary gives you some curveballs and difficult things, but the parable of the prodigal son is not one of those. If you can't draw some conclusions from that, then you probably haven't looked hard enough. But this is a great story. It's a story about Jesus and an encounter with a young teacher of the law. That's how he's described. And in this encounter, the teacher of the law asked Jesus a question. Now, Jesus was the master of taking questions that people asked him and then kind of turning them back around for the other person to try to figure out. So the person says, "Teacher, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "What does the law say? You're a teacher of the law, you're a young teacher of the law." And he gives them the words of what the Jewish followers would call the Shema, which was a prayer that was prayed every morning by Jewish boys, which is, hear, O God, Lord, the Lord is one God, and love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Now, up until this point, it sounds like a pretty good conversation with two people who have a sense of common respect for one another. The young teacher asked Jesus a question. He kind of threw back the question to the young person, who answered it well. And Jesus says, good job. You've answered the question well. And if you stopped the conversation right then, you would probably think that this is great. This young person's got it. He's figured out what it's all about. But the story doesn't end there. Instead, the young person, after Jesus says, yes, you've answered well, that's correct, he says to Jesus, well, then who is my neighbor? Now, that seems, again, like a pretty innocuous question, but the inference of asking who is my neighbor, it implies that you're also wanting to know who is not my neighbor. You know, if you're going to define who my neighbor is, it also defines who I can exclude. I will tell you, I've spent a lot of time studying church history. I teach the history of theology classes at a couple of our United Methodist seminaries online. And I will tell you that every church conflict that I've ever seen boils down to answering the question, who's in and who's out, and who decides who's in and who's out. And so in this question, the young teacher is really wanting to know, who can I exclude? And so Jesus tells him a story. I like that Jesus always, you know, answers with a story. So he tells the story that has become a story that we know as the Good Samaritan. I think there's more to it than just that one character. And so he tells this story as an answer to this young person. And there is a road between Jerusalem and Jericho. It's the same road today. I always love, if you've ever gone to Jericho, you know how in Indiana, when you go into a little small town, it will say, you know, the name of the town, county basketball championship 1935, or state basketball champions, whatever. It will give you something about to define that town, usually involving basketball. We're in Indiana, right? And so when you drive into Jericho, though, it says, welcome to Jericho, world's oldest city. It's been around a long time. Jericho is on the very north shore of the Dead Sea. Its elevation is minus 700 feet. The Dead Sea is the lowest place in the world in terms of a relative elevation to sea level. Jerusalem has an elevation of 2,400 feet. It's called the city on the hill, but it's not really that high in relative to sea level, but it's from Jericho to Jerusalem is a 3,000 foot change, all uphill if you're going to Jerusalem, all downhill if you're going to Jericho. And the road between the two cities, even today, goes through some very arid, treacherous hills in which there are lots of caves, lots of hiding places, lots of ways that people could ambush you if they chose to do that. And so Jesus says, on this treacherous road, there was a traveler. And the traveler was waylaid on this road and left to the side of the road. Now that's a significant part of the story, but what happens next is what Jesus wants to use to teach that young person and to teach us. And so he says, as that person is laying in the ditch, there comes along a priest, there comes along a Levite, and they are too busy and they walk on by. And then there comes along a Samaritan. Now, a lot of times in the Bible stories, we have to kind of translate between the story that Jesus is telling and how we might hear or listen to that story. But in this case, it's really not that hard because not much has changed in the 2,000 years between the time when Jesus preached this story and the time in which we live today. So if we were telling this story, or if Jesus were telling this story today, he would say, a person was traveling along this road between Jerusalem and Jericho and was waylaid by bandits and was left in the ditch to die. And along came an Israeli and walked on by. And then along came another Israeli leader and walked on by. And then came along a Palestinian. And the Palestinian stopped and helped. Now, it may be possible that as you're sitting there that you had some emotional reaction to changing that. But that is the same emotional reaction that Jesus' followers would have had if they were hearing this story. Because those people groups have not changed a whole lot in the last 2,000 years. And so as this person is sitting in the ditch, people come along, and the people you would expect to help don't help, and the people you would not expect to help helps the person in the ditch. And Jesus concludes the story by saying, who was the neighbor to the man in the ditch? And the young teacher of law says, the one who showed him mercy, the one who acted on him. Now, we have to ask ourselves sometimes, what does it mean to be neighbors to those around us? Who do we help? How active are we in helping everyone and seeing the person in the ditch in our lives as a person who is a child of God? And paying attention to those who need our help. Now, part of the reason that we resonate with this story is because all of us, and I'm going to say that I don't use absolutely a lot, but I can be very certain that all of us at one time or another in our life have found ourselves in the ditch. At one time in our lives, we have found ourselves in that situation where we need a hand up, where we need help. And we are thankful for those times when people offer that help to us. And it will, in many ways, change our relationship with the people around us. I have an across-the-street neighbor where I live right now who is a grumpy neighbor. Anybody ever had a grumpy neighbor? I have a grumpy neighbor across the street. And I have a dog. His name is Bo. You'll hear about Bo occasionally. And I was walking Bo, and I moved into this neighborhood 12 years ago. And early in the time when we moved into the neighborhood, this neighbor said, I don't want you walking your dog so that it will do its business in my yard. So for 12 years, I have walked my dog the other direction and around the cul-de-sac because I wanted to respect his opinion. My dog's getting pretty old. He's a 60-pound dog. He's almost 16 years old, so he's probably not going to be with us a whole lot longer. And this last winter, when we had snow on the ground and just the sidewalks were clear, my neighbor, immediately in the fall before that, he had a day when his car wouldn't start, and I was going out to my truck, and he said, Brian, can you help give me a jump start on my car? And I said, okay. So we jumped his car. It seems like a little thing, right? I mean, jump starting somebody's car is really not a big thing. But it changed our relationship. And a couple of months later, he said, listen, Brian, I want to tell you, if you want to walk Bo on this side of the street by my house, that third tree down there, that can be Bo's tree. A little act of kindness that I didn't even get thought of changed the relationship in our lives. And he and I have a different relationship now. He's almost exactly my age, so he retired about 4 months ago, so we were sharing stories of what it means to retire from full-time work. But when we give someone a help up, it changes our relationship with them. Now, I also have to say, Amy Jo Levine, who's a rabbi and a New Testament scholar, she teaches at Vanderbilt. That's kind of an unusual combination. But she has a book called The Stories of Jesus, and in that she unpacks some of the parables of Jesus. And she says if we really want to get into this story, we need to not only imagine ourselves as the people who help, but imagine what it would be like to be the person in the ditch and ask yourself the question, who is it that I would rather stay in the ditch than receive help from that person? Who is it that I would rather stay in the ditch than receive help from that person? Because that too begins to give us an answer to the question, who is my neighbor? It's not only that person we would help, but that person from whom we would receive help. And Jesus' answer is an expansive answer to that question. The teacher of law wanted him to clearly define a boundary, to say, this is my neighbor, this is not my neighbor. He wanted Jesus to say, your neighbor is people that look like you. Your neighbor is people that live in your town, on your street. Your neighbor is someone who values the same things that you value, maybe worships the same way that you worship. You can define your neighbor this way, but Jesus didn't do that. Instead, he told a story, and in the end, he made it clear that his view of neighbor was much more expansive than the young teachers of the law's view of neighbor. And maybe that's a lesson that we need to hear and learn from as well. Because if we can contemplate who we would have difficulty lifting out of the ditch emotionally, who we might have difficulty accepting help, getting ourselves out of the ditch, then we begin to see how we are limiting God's understanding of what it means to be a neighbor to one another. So a few years ago, my wife and I attended a five-day spiritual academy. That's where we met Dorinda Cassaday. And so Dorinda, it's good to know you since then. But if you remember, Dorinda, one of our speakers that week was Frank Rogers. I love Frank. He and I have begun to have a relationship. And he was a storyteller. Frank teaches at one of our United Methodist seminaries, Claremont, which is in Pasadena, California. And he works with inner city youth. And so he had a project to help these inner city youth tell their stories as they minister to one another. And they were invited, this group of inner city kids were from Los Angeles, were invited to speak at a conference, a pastor's conference, in Palm Springs. That's a pastor's conference I want to go to. And there's only one highway from Los Angeles to Palm Springs. It goes through an arid deserty space. And he said these kids all loaded into a van. They started down the highway toward Palm Springs. And lo and behold, they had a flat tire. So they pulled over to the side of the road. They searched through the van, and they didn't have any jack in this van. Somehow it had it disappeared. So they're standing along the side of the road, these kids with a complex racial makeup, and they had their thumbs out trying to get a ride to this conference. And unbeknown to them, while they had their thumbs out, the leader of the conference drove by. A number of the pastors who were attending the conference drove by. the bishop of that area drove by, and they were still standing there. Finally, a truck of migrant workers stopped. They found a jack, they lifted them up, fixed their spare tire, and sent them on their way. But by this time, they were 90 minutes late for their scheduled time to speak. Now, I don't know about you, but most people don't wait 90 minutes when you're that late to speak. But the bishop who was there with the leaders insisted that everybody stay. And during that 90-minute interim, you know, you could imagine that there were lots of conversations about the irresponsibilities of youth, about various things. And the people who were at the conference expected that when these young people came in to do their presentation, that they might be apologetic about what happened. But as they walked in, they said, they told everybody, this is the van we were driving. We were driving the highway. It broke down, and this is what happened. And this is why we're late. And everybody there realized at that moment that they had driven by that van on their way to this conference. And the bishop who was there said, man, if I had known that was you, broken down alongside the road, I would have stopped. And one of the young people in the group said, you know what? We are all broken down alongside the road, and we all need help to get going again. One of the reasons that this story that Jesus told has become so venerated in our lives is that we can relate to it so easily. We all have that knowledge that there have been times when we have seen people in hurting situations and we have kept walking or kept driving. And there are times when we have been alongside the road and someone has stopped and helped, sometimes an unexpected person. And so the message for us is, who is our neighbor? And the answer Jesus gives, the one who shows mercy, the one who extends the love of Christ, the one who demonstrates what it means to be Christ-like. That is our neighbor. And that is what it means for us to be neighbors to others. Let us pray. Almighty and holy God, we confess, O God, that sometimes we want to limit your love. Sometimes we want to draw a circle and say, people inside the circle are my neighbors and the people outside are not my neighbors. Sometimes we want clear definitions of who we should help and who we should not help. But Jesus tells us a story of expansive love. Jesus tells us a story of your nature. And so we pray, O God, that we might be Christ-like as we extend your grace and your love to all of our neighbors without limit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing our hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
give joy. Give joyful thanks to God through loving your neighbor, through doing justice, through speaking out, and through defending those who are weak and oppressed. May God fill you with the knowledge of God's will. May Jesus Christ, who has rescued you, give you constant faith to speak the true word of the gospel. And may the Holy Spirit guide you in wisdom and understanding so that the word can flower with the love of God. Go in God's peace. Amen.